And good morning. We are starting a brand new week here for My Car Guru on a Monday morning. And good morning to the car guru, Lenny Lawson.
I was selling a 1970 Carmen Ghia.
Carmen Ghia.
A couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm selling it out of a collection for a gentleman. And this particular buyer was from Vermont. And he was wanting to buy it. I may have told part of this story, but he was wanting to buy it for his dad as a gift, his garage. Remember I told you that the guy had a Carmen Ghia in the garage and the garage burned down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, delivered the car. He paid me to put it on a trailer, and I had a guy that was available. And I paid him to drive down to... Sorry, I wasn't talking into the microphone.
Sorry.
I paid him to load it on a trailer and drive it to Florida. Well, on his way to Florida, he had a blowout.
Mm. Okay.
Of course we didn't have a spare tire for the trailer.
Of course not.
No. That would have been too easy. So anyway, he got stuck and then had to spend the night, and then finally we got it to him the next day. And the customer was elated with the vehicle. You know, I always, whenever I sell an old vehicle, and I've sold a bunch of them, I don't want to disappoint somebody. Now, whenever you sell something like this, you sell it as is, right?
Sure.
You've seen the stickers on the cars, the FTC label on any used car. It's required by law. It says you're either buying it with a warranty or as is,
mm-hmm.
with no warranty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm selling this as is. So he gets down there, and he's just tickled to death, and he sends me some nice messages, and we talk back and forth on the phone. And the guy that drove the car down there went on and spent time with his family. Well, the guy calls me the next day and said, well, got a little problem. We were driving the vehicle to Daytona. They lived in New Smyrna Beach, mm-hmm. I think, and they were driving down to Daytona. It's 20 miles. And he said, we got away, and we're going down the road, and all of a sudden, bam, the vehicle acts like it's running on two cylinders.
Hmm.
That's because it was. It had a problem, mm-hmm. internal engine problem. And so they took it to he called me, and I said, well, see if you can find somebody that specializes in Volkswagens. And I want to tell you right up front, this guy's name's Matt. I said, Matt, I'm going to stand behind this. I mean, I know you bought it as is, but that doesn't matter to me. I told you that we were going to inspect the vehicle and that was going to be right. I could not anticipate this problem, but I'm going to make this right. And so he was at ease. So he took it to found a mechanic, and he called me from the mechanic, and I made arrangements with that guy to, you know, put it on a lift and see what it was. Now, this guy's a Volkswagen expert. I'm not. I mean, not an internal engine expert.
Mm-hmm.
So he put it on a lift. I got a call a couple hours later, and he pulled the valve cover off, and a valve spring had broken. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, although it lets the valve drop down inside the cylinder, and it's very possible that the valve was beaten up against the piston, you know, mm-hmm. which would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, listen, let me just pay your diagnostic fee. You sew it back up. My guy is still down there, and we'll bring that thing back to Greenville, Tennessee, and we'll fix it. And so I talked to the owner again, the guy who bought it for me. You know, and just the, I think I have credibility with him because I'm a new car dealer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he can hear the sincerity, and I'm going to bring this thing back. Never once did he say, you know, I want my money back,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, it's really not my vehicle. I sold it for another individual. That would be up to him. You know, if he wants to pay the money back, although he would listen to my influence on that. So we brought it back, and matter of fact, they're working on it today.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who sold it to him is a big Volkswagen guy, you know, and he has extra engines and things like that. So, I mean, even if that thing needs an engine, we're going to put an engine in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, for this gentleman. And then we will figure out a way to get it to him in Vermont. But, you know, hopefully you find somebody when you're buying something, especially used, that's going to stand behind what they're selling and live up to their promises. I'm not trying to be a martyr here. I'm just telling you to be careful who you buy stuff from.
Right.
And, you know, if you're looking, buying a car from an individual, you know, sometimes my daughter's taught me, you look them up on Facebook. You know, Google them. Google mm-hmm. their name and see what you can find out about them.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe check some references somehow. Because I've seen too many people buy something and then, you know, be very disappointed. Had a car in a shop last week. It was a 66 Mustang Fastback. This guy bought it at a Mecum auction. You know what the Mecum auction is? Those are the ones that they put on TV. Mecum.
Yeah.
And they have auctions all around the country. And he bought this car. And every one of those cars, Tim, are sold as is. And if you have an issue with it when you bring it back, that's your problem.
Yeah.
That's not their problem.
Right. No warranty.
And if you go to one of these big auctions and you pay big money for some of these cars, and this guy did, then and you have problems, then you know, you're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can avoid that is to have the vehicle inspected. You know, pay somebody to inspect the vehicle if you're buying something older, you know, like a vintage car or something like that. You got to find somebody that's in that area. That's why, like on Bring a Trailer, I'm selling a vehicle right now, 32 Ford Hot Rod. That is mine. And, you know, it's basically 2 years old. I mean, it has 1,800 miles on it. So very low miles. I mean, that thing's going to be right. But if that thing was in Washington State, and I wouldn't bid on that car because I don't know anybody in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to limit my search to somebody in the eastern United States where, worst comes to worst, I get in a car and drive and inspect the vehicle. But, you know, I always tell people when I buy cars and I send a truck after the car, you know, it's subject to inspection. You know, I agree to this deal, and I'll give you the cashier's check once we inspect the vehicle and drive it. It's great if you can do, you know, really test drive the vehicle, do a compression test on the engine. You know, that won't tell you everything, but it will tell you a lot. You know, there's other things that you can do. Just make sure you go through all the gears and you listen and look for smoke coming out the tailpipe. You know, start it when it's cold, start it when it's hot. These kind of things will prevent you from paying too much for a car, and then you turn around and have to spend a bunch more money to get it fixed. And there aren't a lot of shops anymore that know how to tune a carburetor. You know, everybody is trained on this new technology, and if you can't plug a computer up to it, then you know, their eyes cross.
Right.
You know, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to make sure you have an old-school mechanic. Like if I buy a Volkswagen or a Porsche or something like that, I'm going to call David Cook or Charlie Starnes. You know, I know that those are the guys that I can count on, you know, to help guide me and make a good decision. Again, you know, it's just like that saying that we talked about Friday, good fences make good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are careful and you get stuff in writing and you do your, a good partner of mine, his favorite word, phrase was due diligence.
Do your due diligence.
Due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's due diligence mean? He says, that's when you're careful.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you investigate, you know, and you find out what's really going on before you leap and buy something.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just kind of a little scenario I wanted to pass by folks on this glorious Monday.
All right. We'll take our first break, and we'll come back in just a moment. All right, back here. It's Monday morning as we come your way with my car guru and Lenny Lawson here.
I had this guy come up to me and said, would you be willing to sell a car for me? I've listened to your radio show, and I'd like to put it on Bring a Trailer auction. Well, I said, I'd be happy to sell your car for you. Mm-hmm. But the Bring a Trailer auction is not the place to sell your car.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of stuff that when I look at the Bring a Trailer auction, and I know that sounds weird, folks, but I've talked about this a lot on the radio show. It's a auction website that used to be just a forum where people would go in and talk about used cars and then maybe end up, you know, working out a deal with somebody that posted a car, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into one of the most successful online auction sites around. And you know, the way it's structured is you pay $99 to list a car. First, though, you have to go to bringatrailer.com and you go to submit a vehicle. So that's one, you know, if you look at the headline, you'll see the logo for Bring a Trailer, and you go over and it has auctions, submit a vehicle, get the email, and then it has, you know, the user login and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, if you want to have the ability to buy something or to participate in the Bring a Trailer other than just looking at the cars that are for sale, you have to register and you have to give them a credit card. All right, and the reason you have to have a credit card is because if you bid on something, then you will owe Bring a Trailer 5% if you end up becoming the buyer of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you are watching, well, I'm just looking at here's a no-reserve 1982 Toyota Land Cruiser that will end today. The bidding is up to $30,000. Let's say you placed a bid. Then your credit card will be, they'll reserve, I don't know how all this happens with banks and stuff like that, but when you place a bid, a $1,500 hold is put on your credit card. Mm-hmm. You know, so a potential charge, because it's 5%,
mm-hmm.
is the fee that you pay when you buy a car on the Bring a Trailer option. So if somebody outbids you, then you're out. Okay, they're not going to charge your credit card. But if you're the final bidder, you have to pay Bring a Trailer 5% of whatever the price was. So if you bid off a $100,000 car, then they're going to hit your credit card for $5,000.
Is that on top of the $99 fee?
That's on top of the $99. No, that's $99 is if you list a car to sell.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll get back to that in just a minute.
Is that per car?
$99 per car. That's why it's such a great place.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, you're the final bidder on the $100,000 car. They hit your credit card $5,000. You still haven't bought the car yet, though, because you have to work out your deal with the guy who owns the car.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately what happens is you get an email. If you're the top bidder, you get an email from Bring a Trailer saying, here's the contact information for the person you are buying the car from.
Yeah.
You contact that person, you get on the phone, and you talk back and forth, and you make arrangements to finalize the transaction. Now, if the bidder backs out, the only thing that happens is you get a terrible rating on Bring a Trailer, and you'll never be able to buy anything else,
mm-hmm.
and you lose your $5,000.
You're still out that $5,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to buy this car. You want to make this happen. So you put it together. Let's say that the customer or the seller deceived you, and that you went to look at the car, the guy tried to jack you around on price, or you went and looked at the car and it failed. It did not live up to what was said, you know, in the description.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have leverage with Bring a Trailer to get out of it, and they'll refund your money, and they'll sanction the seller possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really kind of up to a committee. And what they do, this is, Bring a Trailer is kind of like a community thing. And so I was looking at my account. I wanted to tell you about the fee. So let's say you want to list a car. So you join, you don't need Lenny Lawson to list a car for you. It's just that I've become pretty good at taking pictures, knowing what to say, you know, the descriptions and stuff like that. And
sounds like a guru.
Yeah, kind of. And so so you pay your $99, well, you don't pay your $99 yet. You submit a car. You go to submit a vehicle and ask for a description of the vehicle. And you got to provide a lot of detailed information about the car. They're going to ask you a bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make sure you have the VIN number. You know, you've got to have all the options. Like, I'm selling a 32 Hot Rod right now. Well, I didn't know all the different features of that car and how important the fiberglass body was, who made it, who made the chassis. So I had to have Ricky Parton, who is a hot rod builder, inspect that car for me and tell me what it had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that I could write a good story for Bring a Trailer. And so I submitted all this information, and then they notified me. It took forever to get on, because it's like right now there's 350 some cars on the auction site right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get back to me and they say, well, what do you want for a reserve? Well, I told them I want so many dollars for a reserve, and if it doesn't bring that, then I'm not going to sell the car. Then all you owe them is the $99, okay, if it doesn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
But that negotiates with you on the reserve. They will not list a car if your reserve is too high. If they don't think it'll bring that, then they won't list it for you.
Yeah.
So, now you can drop the reserve. I've done that several times. I've had cars I was worried if it was going to hit the reserve, and I decided, you know, I really need to sell this car. Or I'd call the owner of the car that I was selling it for, and I said, man, this car, are you sure you got to have $30,000?
Mm-hmm.
Would you not take $25,000 and be happy?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yeah, then I can drop the reserve to $25,000 on the site. Now, none of the bidders know what the reserve is, and none of them know that you've dropped it. All right? So the bidders on the car, they just keep bidding and bidding and bidding. The beauty of this particular auction site, it's not like eBay. It's not like selling something on eBay, because eBay, the final bidder, boom, when that clock runs out, it's done. The auction's over, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Bring a Trailer, if somebody bids at the last minute, the clock resets to 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it starts over. And, I mean, I've seen cars go up $15,000. After the auction was officially over, but it keeps resetting at 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts a smile on your face, you know, when you're selling a car,
mm-hmm.
and it brings that much more money. If that had been an eBay auction, it would have been done, you know?
Yeah.
And all the potential bidders just kind of disappear. And so Bring a Trailer is a great tool for that. Now, I've had cars rejected before because they said it just didn't fit their model. Or sometimes I get confused as to what exactly their model is because I see a lot of crazy vehicles in there. But I've sold, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I've sold 28 cars on that.
Most of those for other people, I guess.
Most of them. Vast majority of them were for other people. And I've had some no sales as well. I've had cars not meet the reserve, and I've had cars blow the reserve out of the water, you know, much to my surprise. You know, here's a car that I put on to bring a trailer auction. Is a 48-year-owned 1959 Porsche 356A, and the reserve was not met. The reserve was $90,000, and it only brought $78,500. So the person, the highest bidder on that car, didn't have to pay the 5% because I didn't sell the car.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm out the $99 for listing the car, plus all the work I put into trying to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 weeks later, I sold that car to one of the guys that was bidding on that car for $90,000. So I was able to get it, but I just kept pursuing it, you know, in order to do that. So, you know, it's not an exact science, and that's one of the reasons I like it so much. It's just fun.
Yeah. But I would say if you're going to put a vehicle on there, you want to be reasonably sure it's going to sell, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, we do a photo shoot. I'm normally the photographer. You know, I'll drive it just like this Porsche. I drove it to a beautiful location behind Green Valley Developmental Center in there in Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
And there's cornfields, and you can see the mountains in the background. And at the time, it wasn't corn. It was soybeans, and it was just all around the car. And it just looked like just a deserted road paved in the middle of a soybean field, you know, with beautiful mountains in the background. And so I took pictures all the way around and inside and out, and I did a couple videos. Videos always make a difference. You know, if you ever want to get more money out of a car, shoot a good video. You know, starting the car, walking around it running, show the trunk, you know, do a driving video, either you driving by or actually riding in the car where they can see you shifting gears and stuff. It gives people more confidence where they can hear the engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the visuals make a difference. So, anyway, that's one of the reasons I'm a fan. You don't need me to help you sell your car if you just follow the rules and know what works on Bring a Trailer. But one of the downsides of Bring a Trailer is that if your car's got faults and you don't disclose them, some of them you may not even know about, but if you don't disclose them, somebody is going to point it out because they have a comment section. And the comment section is one of the things that gives people comfort in the Bring a Trailer auction, is because, you know, people who know a lot about, for example, this Jeep Scrambler, 1982 Jeep Scrambler, you know, there's probably some Jeep know-it-all that can go on here and make comments about it. And, you know, I'm looking at this one has tons of comments on it that people have said, you know, like, what were the latest services that you had completed on the vehicle? And have you had any issues with the drivetrain? And then the seller ends up having to answer. So there's a lot of work involved, you know, in paying attention to what's going on in the auction. But it is a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right, we'll take our last break and we'll come back and wrap things up. And we're back here on a Monday morning to wrap up My Car Guru.
I was interested last week to see two major companies, a major technology company and a major automotive manufacturer, hook up and decide to do business together. And those two companies are Ford Motor Company and Google.
Ford and Google.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that when you get into a Ford, you look to the right, just any modern Ford, you're going to see, let's say like today's, this F-150 that I'm driving, you're going to see that big 12-inch screen. And you're going to see a bunch of, it's like a computer screen, right? It's got your air conditioning, and it's got your radio and the navigation and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was developed with a company, you remember the company called BlackBerry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was developed in coordination with BlackBerry, and it's called Sync, S-Y-N-C. It first came out around 2007, all right? And it was very crude. You had this little screen, and you would touch it. And it wasn't really touch sensitive, and people would try to change the channel, and they'd have to touch it five times, and it really sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sync, that was Sync number one, version one. Sync number two came out, and it was better, but still not great. Now we have Sync 4, and it works beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is great, and I love it. It's Sync 3 was also very good. They had all the bugs out. Well, now Ford has said, okay, we're throwing in the towel. We're not going to use BlackBerry. We're not going to use Sync anymore. We're going to use Google. So Android Automotive, starting in 2023, it's a 6-year partnership that will see Ford cars use Android Automotive. Google Maps will be installed as the primary satellite navigation system, which will include features such as real-time traffic. You know, I love Google Maps. I use it all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't use the Apple map function because it's no good. Mm-hmm. It's not as good, I don't think. I use Google. So it's going to be interesting. Ford is now going to basically seed the center infotainment system, the dashboard on that Ford whatever, the F-150, the Expedition, the Ford Fusion, if we still have it at that time. You know, all of them are going to have Android built onto the system. So you'll be able to use Alexa, you know. We don't have an Alexa around here. You'll be able to use all of those things. Now, will I still be able to use my Apple CarPlay? Yes, you will, because that will be one of the apps. So it'll use apps just like your phone. And I'm kind of excited about that.
Okay.
Even though what we have now is good, that will probably be better. And Google's not a bad company to hook up with.
I would say not.
Yeah.
That'll do it for My Car Guru on a Monday morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.